the Bible reading, which comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20.
They went across to the lake, to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him any more, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained, hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of the demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed.
It's lovely being here. We visit lots of churches, and it's really lovely to be at a church where people have turned up who want to be here and who've come a bit of a distance, and there's a bit of a fellowship, there's a community, and people love each other and want to be at church together. So it is lovely seeing you. It is really, really nice being here. We go to other places that are smaller, and we go to other places that are bigger, but it doesn't matter. We're really pleased to be here, and we're really pleased to be with you. And this passage that we're looking at could have happened in Area Park. It doesn't happen in a city, doesn't happen on a major highway. It happens in this sort of funny little spot by this lake. It's a funny little spot. It's not surrounded by crowds. Often Jesus had crowds and crowds of people, and it's as if lots of people would be influenced. But here, Jesus is talking and is involved with this man who has the demons in him. And it just seems that it's a personal conversation in a small, dusty little country town. It's not even in a town, it's by this lake. So as we look at it, keep in mind that it actually is about places like Area Park. And it starts off thinking about who's in control, who's powerful. But then there's a slide, it changes, the themes change, and you see Jesus' kindness and mercy take over as the major theme. So it starts with, it looks like it's going to be a battle, and then it changes. We watch Jesus interact with this man, and then we see kindness and mercy. It's a really beautiful passage, and I hope it speaks to your heart. I'll pray. Lord, as we come to this piece of your word, I pray that you would open our hearts, help us to hear what you have to say to us. If, Lord, we're feeling flat and discouraged, I pray that you'd pick us up and encourage us. If, Lord, we need to repent of things, I pray that you'd put your finger on our lives, help us to see your love and see that serving you and loving you is worth it. I pray, Lord, for the kids in Kids Church. Pray that they'd have a lovely morning as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who's in power? This story is a bit of a who's in power story, isn't it? Sport is all about power and control. Power and control. Netball is about power and control. Who's got the ball? Who's got control? Where are you on the court? That's what it's about. Tug of War's about who's in control too, who's in power. And it's all about getting other people to do what you want. Because they're trying to make you do what they want. Years ago, I did karate and jiu-jitsu for a while, and it was all about getting the other person and shaking them and putting them down. It was great fun. And they'd do it to you too, or you'd grab them, pull them in, throw them. And it's all about control. And you get them. If you got them out here, it doesn't work. Pull them in nice and close, works beautifully. And in this story, we're going to see Jesus come really close to this man. Can we have the next slide, please? We're going to see a number of people. We're going to see people who are terrified, people who are afraid, people who are calm, and people who are amazed. So we're going to look through a variety of people, and we're going to answer a couple of questions. We're going to answer questions like, who's in power? What effect is this having on people? So that's the sort of things we're going to dig through as we have a look. Well, who's in power? We are in the middle of this countryside by the lake. Jesus last night was on the other side of the lake. He had been teaching people and heaps of people turned up and they had to leave. They left by boat. The storm came up and the disciples were terrified. A lot of them were fishermen and they knew boats. They knew when to be worried, when not to be worried. And they were petrified. Jesus is asleep on the back seat. So they wake him up and they say, Jesus, Jesus, we're going to drown. And he gets up, calms the storm. The whole thing goes, shh. You get the impression it just goes, shh. And they are petrified, terrified, because they can see the power, the raw power. I mean, you go to a farm and you see a chainsaw running, and you know that's raw power, keep out of the way. Or a tractor, keep away from the PTO. It's powerful, right? But these disciples saw Jesus at work and they were just amazed. Amazed. So that's where we are. They're amazed. They've recovered a bit. We come to this spot on this lake's edge and we find out some more. Well, I'm going to start from verse 6 and then I'm going to come back and read the backstory. So verse 6, when he, which is the man who's living in the tombs, chapter 5, verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. What impact have the demons had on this man's life? What impact? Well, I think the main one is alienation. Alienation. It's a big word. It's a modern word. But it still happened in the good old days. In verse 2, we find out that this man lives amongst the tombs. He lives amongst the tombs. Can you think of any place more depressing to live than amongst the tombs? I'd even rather live at the garbage tip than at the tombs. That's where he lives. He's living as close to death as you can get. He's living in darkness, death, decay, no hope, no life. No one says, oh, let's go for a picnic at the tombs. They don't do that. Verse 3, the man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. What a life. What a life. He's cut off from his family. They're scared to death of him. The community fears him. The best response his family and friends have is to have a working bee where they get about 8 or 10 blokes, they jump on this guy, try and chain him up, and he breaks the chains anyway. That's the best thing they have for him. That's the mental health response of the time. These days we'd inject them with something and give them tablets. But those days they thought, well, let's chain him up because he's such a nuisance. But it doesn't work anymore. He's restless. He's restlessly roaming, 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 roaming. I remember talking to a friend of mine who's a pastor who went to visit someone who was in the police station. And the person was just roaming restlessly up and down the cell. And the police said to him, are you sure you want to go in there? He said, yeah, it'll be okay. So he went in and he watched this guy roam up and down and he tried to speak peace into his life. But he really noticed how unsettled this bloke was. I love television, right? I can sit and watch telly all day. I'm good at it. But this guy couldn't. This guy couldn't enjoy the telly. He didn't listen to the radio. He didn't read the newspaper. He was restlessly roaming. And it's really sad. It's really sad. The demons are dehumanizing and alienating him. They're breaking down what it is to be a human, to be in contact with other people, to be able to know rest, to know love, to know kindness, to know community, and it's all been taken away from him. He's harming himself. He's cutting himself with stones. Now, there are people who have self-harm in their background. It doesn't mean they have demons. It means that they're doing life really tough. But as this story goes through, it shows you that Jesus restores. Jesus restores people. Keep that in mind. We're looking forward to that. We know that this man met Jesus and he was renewed. He had his dignity returned and his humanity restored. And it's beautiful. So, who's in charge? Next question. What impact did this have on the community? Like, there's a ripple effect. There's a ripple effect. They were scared of the man. He's roaming around the place being a pain in the neck. They decided to chain him up. Like, it's a big step saying, let's go and chain someone up. No one has ever suggested to me, Martin, we're going to go chain someone up. Come with us. No, we don't do that. It's a big step. It's a big step. He's a constant reminder of evil. It's really sad. He's a constant reminder of evil. Well, is there a competition? Is there a competition? Well, remember this man has a stack of demons in him. He's more powerful than the locals. But where is this conversation taking place? Jesus is standing there. And where is the man? He's thrown himself on his knees. Jesus is just standing there. This man runs down and throws himself on his knees. That's interesting. That's interesting. The power of these demons scared the life out of the locals, didn't scare Jesus at all. There's no competition. It's not a battle. It's not like a tug of war or a wrestle and you see who's going to win. It's not a problem for Jesus. They beg Jesus. They beg, can we go into the pigs, please? Can we go into the pigs, please? Jesus says, okay. They didn't sort of say, well, we're going into the pigs. They begged. They begged. They encountered Jesus, who was powerful, and they begged. This shows us that Jesus has absolute power. Absolute power. Absolute power. Jesus has authority, and he gives that authority. Well, what about the pigs? He gave permission for the impure spirits to go into the pigs. How many pigs is 2,000 pigs? That's a good farming question. How many B doubles is 2,000 pigs? 4 or 5 B doubles? At least heaps of pigs. That's a row of trucks full of pigs. And they all take off, go down into the lake and get drowned. That's a lot of pigs. Now, this is a pig friend of mine. You might have seen this, Isabella. Isabella was our friend at the old farm where we used to live. And Miriam and I would take Isabella's food. We didn't hand feed her because she'd take off your hand. We used to pour the food in the trough and Isabella would trot up. She didn't run, she would trot. And I thought, I wonder how hard you can pat a pig. How hard can you pat a pig? So I started patting the pig. I pat a bit harder. I was patting Isabel till my hand was red raw, and she didn't flinch. She's a tough animal. They are tough animals. So for this load of pigs to run down the hill into the lake and drown, they must have been scared. They must have been scared. And it was the activity of the demons that destroyed them. If you go to the Bahamas, you can swim with pigs. I've seen photos on the web of people feeding carrots to the pigs while they're out swimming with them. If you've got enough money and not enough brains, you can go to the Bahamas and feed pigs. Pigs swim perfectly fine. But pigs with the demons drowned. We can see that there's such a destructive element here. Just destruction at every point in this poor man, in the community, and in these poor pigs. Well, the man was rescued. The man was rescued. It looked like the story was about power, and the story's changing to be about mercy and kindness. The man was rescued. The man was powerless to save himself. The community was powerless to save him. They couldn't save him. They wanted to. They wanted to, but they couldn't save him. But here Jesus turns up in this little boat with 10 or 12 friends. They get out. The problem gets solved. Jesus saved him. He told the demons to come out. We all need rescue. I was just thinking about how this works. And there's this beautiful little passage in Colossians that says, "For he," that's God the Father, "has rescued us from the dominion of darkness," that fits in with our story, "and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." It's interesting. This man was so clearly rescued, so clearly. We don't have demons in us. Not everybody lives that terrible existence. But before we met Jesus, we were in the kingdom of darkness. We were living in the darkness. We were living away from the Lord, and the Lord has brought us to him. It's beautiful. I love this passage. I love this passage. This rescue is beautiful. It's profound, and it's the same rescue that all of us who love the Lord Jesus have experienced. He's come into our lives, picked us up, forgiven us, brought us close to him. It's beautiful. We can't just make our lives better by getting up earlier, working harder, doing more washing up, doing more jobs around the house, reading or praying more, and thinking that we can work our way towards the Lord. The Lord has to rescue us. And that's worth thinking about. The Lord rescues us. Let's think about how the locals responded. We haven't found out how the man responded yet. Let's find out about the locals, then we'll come back to the man. Verse 14. "Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside." It would have been a very interesting day for them. "And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the man what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region." Ready for a joke? The village people? Oh, come on. That was good. The village people come and have a look, and they go, "The pigs, the pigs." There's the man. "The pigs, the pigs." They're just worried about the pigs. They're not Jews. They have pigs. They're not worried about the man. They're worried about the pigs. They weren't expecting a Messiah. They weren't waiting for someone to come and save them like the Jews were. They just go, "What about our pigs? What about our pigs?" They had seen Jesus' power, raw power, but they hadn't understood Jesus' goodness. They'd seen the power, but not the goodness. They hadn't seen the goodness in Jesus. Whereas the man had seen the goodness in Jesus as he'd been released from the demons. It's really interesting. We each, whenever we encounter the Lord through our reading, through what we hear, whenever we encounter the Lord, we are either pulled towards the Lord or we push away from the Lord. We pull towards obedience and living our lives for him, serving him, or we push away and resist. It's interesting. The man, as we'll find out, loves the Lord. He can't get enough of the Lord. Yet the local people say, "No, we don't want this. We don't want this. We don't want this." Mercy, restoration, and service. What happens to the man? He's sitting there, verse 15 tells us, he's sitting. Remember, he is the roamer. He's sitting. He's dressed, which is code for, in the past, he was in the nude, in the raw. So he's running around in the raw, being a complete nuisance. He's sitting and dressed. Oh. The disciples must have been a bit worried about it, but there they are with him. How many people have been kind to this man? How many people have been really kind to him lately? I don't reckon you could count them on one finger. I don't think you'd need a finger. I don't think anyone has been kind to this man. And yet Jesus has changed his life. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. He's in his right mind and he's with Jesus and the disciples. Can you imagine how much he must have longed for company? Longed for company. And here he is with Jesus and the disciples. It's beautiful. There's so much beauty in this. And it's interesting that Jesus doesn't control this man. Jesus hasn't got him and saying, okay, you're going to have to do this and this and this and this and this, and I'm going to check up on you that you do this and this. It's not that sort of a conversation, is it? It's a conversation of beauty and acceptance and freedom. And the man just can't get enough of Jesus. Jesus in the boat and the disciples are leaving. I can imagine the man with a leg in the boat. I love a boat ride, right? I love a boat ride. This man must have really longed for a boat ride. And there's the boat heading off and he's got one leg in saying, can I come with you? Can I come with you? These people have been so kind to him. And Jesus says, no, mate. How about you go home to your family and your community and tell them about what the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you? That's beautiful. Because he would have gone with Jesus. He didn't know where Jesus was going. He just wanted to go with him. But Jesus sent him back to his family. Imagine how amazed they would have been when they got him back. They might have been a bit worried when they first saw him. When they first saw him, they might have thought, oh dear, what's going to happen now? But the man gets back, sees his family, and people are amazed. Verse 20 tells us that the people were amazed. You can see that the themes have completely switched by now. The control and the contest didn't really exist. But we get Jesus' kindness and love. And that is just so touching and heartfelt. I love it. It's Jesus' beauty that attracts me, his kindness. I know he's powerful, but it's his beauty that he gave you. He died on the cross for me. He rose and he loves me. He called to me. I think that is just magnificent. Well, restoration. The man has gone home. Go tell your family. Go to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. That is just so good, and he does it. He does it, and the people in verse 20 are amazed. It's interesting. Jesus often says to people, come and follow me. But the man wants to follow, and he says, don't follow me. How about you go? And he sends him back to his family, the people who really needed him. And that's beautiful. Jesus asked the man to serve him. Do you notice that? He actually asks the man to do something. The man's still free. The man does it out of excitement and his response to Jesus' goodness in his life. Makes me wonder how Jesus would talk to us. Maybe Jesus would say, go somewhere. Maybe he would say, stay. Maybe he'd say, spend more time with your family. Maybe he'd say, tell people about me. Go, be involved with Scripture. Be involved with youth group. Be involved with kids' church. Be involved with ladies' Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study. I'm making this up. Wednesday night Bible study or whatever Bible study. Maybe Jesus would say, go to the RSL with two or three other people from church and be involved there. I don't know. But what I do know is he's our Saviour. And he doesn't want just a bit of us. He wants all of us. He wants all of us. He wants to have our calendar. He wants to have our family times. He wants our wallet. He wants our car and the way we drive our car. He wants our careers. He wants our phones. He wants what we say and do to people. Jesus wants us to be changed people. What I want to say to you is Jesus saves. Jesus came to the earth to save, and that's beautiful. He saves. And in this little episode, we see a picture of Jesus' saving power at work. That's Jesus' saving power at work. It's beautiful to see. Next one, our stories. We all have personal stories of how Jesus changed us. Your personal story about what God has done for you is worthwhile. It's not an argument. It's not an attack. It's just what God has done for you. It's a good thing to share. It's a good thing to share how the Lord has looked after you. Maybe the Lord has looked after you this week, and that's something you can share with people. Maybe the Lord has looked after you on some big occasion. Maybe you can talk about what the Lord has done to you when He first of all picked you up. Your story is wonderful. Following Jesus means serving Jesus. Jesus said to this man, "Don't follow me." He said, "Go." Sometimes Jesus will say, "Follow me." Sometimes He'll say, "Go." But Jesus wants us to serve Him. And usually it means following. This man's life was radically changed. Radically changed. Radically changed. Our lives as we come to the Lord Jesus are radically changed as well. Let me pray. Our Father, as we come to Your Word, and as we listen to Your Word, we're captured by Your beauty. We're captured by Your generosity, Your kindness. I thank You, Lord, that You are kind to us even though other people may not be. That You reach out to us even though other people might not reach out to us. I pray, Lord, that You would change our hearts, set our hearts on fire. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.